the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. It's been a few months. John Goodigan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. Yes, it has been a few months. For me, more so than you as well, Rob, because at least you've still been on active service during the club season. I signed off when the Dubs signed us off. I haven't been on the pod since then.
Wow. Yeah, when you put it that way, and throw in a few other different elements. We had our Kevin Mex Day special. If you haven't listened to that, just go back and listen to it. It's brilliant. It's definitely worth listening to at some point over the Christmas. And of course, we had some great club coverage, particularly like the club specials around the intermediate final. Some great stuff in that. But yeah, in between that, there was one or two other headlines around Mayo football. I know you were very, very busy on the blog, keeping some sort of semblance of control on the whole situation. But my word, Q4 drama, to borrow your phrase. Mayo does it better than anyone.
We do, and I think by my calculation, we've had 1 year off since 2014. Ooh. We had the Pat and Noel stuff the year after they left. So I think it was the year after that. So we've had 1 year where there's been no drama at all. But my God, I mean, back with a bang this year. I mean, this one, I think, certainly from how I have witnessed all of them, this one beats them all. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
This week's show is all about the race to be Mayo County Board Chairman. Two candidates in contention. And I'm delighted to say for our listeners, John, both of them sat down with us for in-depth interviews.
Yeah, it's great. And fair play to both of them for doing that, because I think it's always, we've seen with the British general election how political leaders can run away from scrutiny. So I think I think both of them deserve praise for sitting down with your good self. You know, you doing the Andrew Neil on both of them and asking the tough questions as you needed to, and you know, let them you know, allow them the time and space to answer. So yeah, I think we've done the process some justice in this, and we've hopefully helped to shine some light into the race for the chairmanship.
And I guess all that's played out in the backdrop of the dispute between the Mayo County Board and the International Supporters Foundation, which is ongoing. Mm-hmm. It's gone to Crow Park level. It's obviously played out in the national media, on social media. It has played out on your blog in great detail, as you said. And it's really, really been exactly what Mayo GA didn't need at a time when funds are tight and when, you know, the loan repayments remain strong. And it does kind of dominate the backdrop. It's the Brexit of this particular chairmanship election.
Yeah, I guess it is, yeah, because as you said, Rob, the crucial thing about it is that it's not over. This is a drama which is continuing even this week. There have been fresh developments in it. So I think for both candidates, it's a crisis in which they have been present, you know, both of them have been on the county board, so they've witnessed what has happened at close quarters. And whichever of them gets the chairmanship on Sunday will definitely have to deal with this over the coming months. So yeah, so it's a big issue. It's not the only issue, and certainly once the football starts up, we've always seen that the off field drama does tend to fade away into the background once the football starts up again. But it is something that has to be dealt with definitively, because we cannot have an issue like this poisoning the water going on for months on end.
I didn't tee you up for this question, so I'm putting you on the spot. But before we hand over to the segment where we do the interviews, why does the position of chairman of the county board matter to you, John Gunnigan?
Well, it has to matter because it is the leadership position in Mayo GA. You know, I think the buck stops with the chairman, because the chairman leads the organisation. So any organisation needs good leadership if it is to function properly. And, you know, we definitely need good leadership in the organisation now. So I would say it's an extremely important vote for the organisation and will largely dictate where we're headed over the next few years.
Well, that's as good a way as any to get into this. Starting in order of how we sat down with them, went to Castlebar first of all on Tuesday to speak to Seamus Toohey. Seamus Toohey, first of all, you're very welcome along to the Mayo News Football Podcast. A huge week for you, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks very much, Rob, and delighted to have the opportunity. It definitely has been a busy week, a busy number of weeks. I suppose out meeting the clubs, taking calls, meeting delegates, you know, and, you know, a lot going on within Mayo GAA at the moment, you know, and I suppose a lot of controversy, particularly around the International Foundation. But there's a lot of positives, and, you know, even this week to hear the appointment of the likes of Kieran McDonald to the backroom staff of the coaching of James Horan's team, you know, it's great to see, and Andy Morden being appointed recently to the under 20 team. So they're all positives. Look, we're coming off the back of a year, you know, where a lot happened, in particular, both on the field and off the field. So on the field, we definitely had a good year. If you were to say to me this time last year we were going to win the National League, I would say probably not agree. But, you know, it was great to win that title back on the 31st of March. And then go on, and have quite a good championship, you know, coming through the back door, which people probably didn't expect at the start. But look, we lost to Roscommon, but we recovered very well, and we had great days out, in particular above and down, you know, down the Gaelic Park, and a huge crowd in McHale Park where winners led to a semi-final above in Dublin in mid-August. So overall it has been a good year, and not to forget, you know, the great work that also that went on within the development squads, and but the performance of our under 17 minor team this year, which was very positive for the future. You know, a lot happening in that particular area. So look, there's a lot of good happening within Mayo GAA circles, but unfortunately it has been overshadowed a little by what has went on with it within the next week and within the last number of weeks. But I think, you know, overall, you know, I hope that will be resolved and we move on, you know, prepare ourselves for 2020. It's the business is about football, both on and off the field, and Mayo GAA. So look, we're all in it and we're all very passionate and we've great support out there right throughout the county. So it's important we get on with the job in hand.
You're going from vice chairman. Give us an idea, as you, before we quickly ask about what the chairmanship role you feel is going to entail, what your role has entailed over the last 5 years on this executive.
Well, my role as vice chair, I suppose I had two briefs. One was I was chairperson of the Health and Wellbeing Committee. And as most people will know at this stage, you know, I have been a mental health professional over the last 40 years nearly. And I'm very passionate about health and well-being, and in particular around mental health, you know, and a lot of work has gone on within clubs, and I've been coordinating that for the last 6 or 7 years since the health and well-being was set up within counties. So we've done a lot of good work, and I suppose in more recent weeks, you know, I visit South Mayo, where I was in the Neil Parish, where we ran the movement, and this is a project we do with the movement, including Andy Morden, Neil Douglas, Mayo Mental Health Association, Leanne McManaman, where we link physical health to mental health. How important physical health, physical exercise, physical activity is in promoting your own mental health well-being. That was one of my briefs. And I suppose the other brief what I had was a chairperson of CCC. It's a huge brief. If I was to say to you, it's 7 nights a week, every week, with the exception maybe 1 month of the year, where you would be involved in the planning stage and planning for the following year. And I suppose around this time every year, I would start my planning exercise after having reviews with clubs and with delegates throughout the county and planning for the following year. So it's nearly an all-round year commitment to any individual who takes on this. And, you know, you need this type of drive and commitment within yourself, you know, in order to run a fixture calendar well. About 25 weeks, you know, the 52, you have to work and run a fixture programme within a county. But look, that was a challenge. I enjoyed the challenge. I had a very good committee around me, working with me. Changed a bit over the years, but overall, you know, we got on very well and we worked very well with clubs. So look, I think a lot achieved. And I suppose my final act in that was at the last county board meeting, where we reconfigured our junior championship into an exclusive junior championship. So I think again that is a big plus for the fixture calendar, you know, and The other thing which we looked at, particularly a part of the review, was probably changing the under 21, which anyone that was witnessed the conditions that players had to endure last weekend in your own team, Rob, Ballinrobe was successful in beating Ballintubber in the final game of the season. So look, at we have proposed at this stage that we run the round robin stages of that in mid-July. So these are some changes which I think is positive for the game and positive for the club footballer within the county.
Mike Kennelly spoke very well about the pressures you're under, and I guess that's, you know, since our listeners have last heard us, there's been a lot of water under the bridge. How can you get your head around what's happened over these last few months? Like, one of the things you said yourself is there's been a lot of things you would do differently from the perspective of executive. Would you be able to give our listeners maybe some of the ideas? I know there's some details you can't get into, but just some of the specifics that you would say, you know what, around that area we didn't handle it as well as we should have in relation to the International Foundation.
Well, I suppose the big thing that has come up for me over the last couple of months is the whole area of governance, where we're at within the organisation as regards governance. So I think, you know, mistakes have been made, you know, and I think if we did allow ourselves into the governance world, it would minimise the risks that did happen over the last couple of months. Look, if we had our time all over again, you know, I know we probably would have done things somewhat different. But look, at the complexity and the challenges that was there for us was quite challenging, you know. But I think, you know, changes are required, and, you know, big changes is required within the organisation and how we handle these situations. The organisation at this stage, you know, it's more than a voluntary organisation. It's very much like running a business. And, you know, I think we need to approach it like that. There's many pillars within the organisation, and I suppose when we talk about governance, we very much always seem to jump to the finance management within an organisation. But what I would say, you know, every pillar within the organisation, we need to have a root and branch assessment of where we're at. And, you know, been in formal structures there. So, as I said, to minimise the risk that these type of events happening again. You know, and I think
there was a 2-week gap there of no meetings. That's something that Kevin McStay focused on with us when we talked to him a couple of months ago. That frustrated a lot of people. Would that be what you're talking about? Like something like that, where there's no meeting for a couple of weeks despite all the things that were coming out into the press?
Yeah, and I suppose that is frustrating for ourselves as an organisation. And I suppose, you know, there was changes along route. You know, basically, our legal team took over the control of the whole affairs, and then it was handed over to Croke Park. You know, a decision was taken on that. And when you do make those decisions, I suppose, as a guest, making responses locally, you know, you are restricted, and you know, you depend on the Croke Park and on your legal advisors and how you should progress this situation. So I suppose for us, you know, it was frustrating. You know, and I suppose there was things said in the media and said in the public that you as an organisation, you kind of jump in and respond to. You know,
I'll give you an example. Like Kevin McStay was talking about the fact that, you know, the executive at the top table were talking about they hadn't read the email, and the whole country had emails. Do you understand the kind of the simple approach that outsiders will have to that? Look, sure, we all know there's an email out there, and the technical elements that you're dealing with that lead to people being very frustrated with that response.
Yeah, well, look, there was emails out there, and look, unfortunately, there was emails being forwarded on to clubs and weren't forwarded on to executives, and, you know, that created difficulties around the whole area of communication. But look, at all as regards what happened in the International Fund and what needs to happen, I think at this stage is in control of Croke Park, and I think we should leave it to Croke Park, and hopefully we can have a successful outcome of this. All I can say is, as an individual or as a member of the board, we are open if Croke Park proposed that a mediation needs to happen. We will assist that process in going forward. What we want and what the clubs want, they want a resolution to this issue as soon as possible, and to get on, you know, with the challenges, other challenges within the county, particularly around our games and administration, our coaching, all that type of thing. So I think that needs to be our focus. And look, at as soon as a resolution can come to this situation, let's move on.
Yeah, and I guess I understand that. And before we do, though, it's been some 12 months, though. Because, I mean, Enda Mulcrone, your own club delegate, described Tim O'Leary as a white knight this time last year.
Yeah.
And he was, I suppose, in the sense that he had helped the county out, and he's been thanked by Dermot Butler in the papers today for that 150,000. Yeah. It shows you how fast it can go wrong, doesn't it?
It can. And I suppose, like everything else, you know, there was very little talk about it up to when we exited the All-Ireland semi-final. And unfortunately, when we're not focusing on football, these other events seem to take precedence.
Yeah.
And, you know, in spite, we had a very good domestic club fixture or championship. And, you know, it's unfortunate these events do take precedence. And I suppose we live in an era where the likes of social media is quite powerful, and, you know, information, gets out there, whether it's right or wrong. And, you know, look, as I said, things... We can learn from some of the mistakes that was made, and look, let's move on. We're a big county, big passion, and we're very passionate about football within this county. So look at what I'm asking for, and what I'd be hoping in my first task is, you know, to regain the confidence, the trust and respect that we always had with the clubs. And, you know, it's unfortunate, that this has created maybe a small bit of a bridge between ourselves and them. So it's important as us. We are all club people at the end of the day. Mm. We didn't look for this. We don't want this. Mm. We want to move on. We want it's football. All I'm thinking about at this stage is preparing our senior team, our under-20 team, which is starting back training, and our minor and our academy squads for 2020. And, you know, it's about football, and it's about football among lads and girls within the county.
Yeah, you say yourself about the clubs and you want to repair some of maybe the issues that are there, but you did differ with Liam Moffat this week in terms of you don't think there's a disconnect. Liam Moffat does. Maybe just talk to me about that differential in terms of he thinks there's a disconnect between clubs that he's picking up as you go around. You're not so sure that there's a disconnect between clubs and the executive.
Well, look, I suppose the two briefs that I worked at over the last number of years, I worked through the CCC and I worked through the health and wellbeing, you know, and, you know, I, for me, as chairperson of that, you know, it's leadership and it's about communication and it's about working with clubs. If I hadn't clubs working with me, you know, over the last number of years, we would not have the successful championships or the successful health and wellbeing structures within the county that we have. I'm very much dependent on clubs. I've been always open, transparent and honest with clubs. And, you know, as regards the disconnect, what I would say, there was different views, within the county, particularly around the international and the foundation.
Statements from the clubs that came out that differed from the county board exec's statement on the meeting. That was a bad moment, wasn't it?
Well, look, I think a lot of it is frustration. Okay. You know, it can be down to frustration at the end of the day, you know, and there is frustration. And, you know, some stuff maybe should have been communicated to clubs earlier, and I think for us as a board, maybe that's where the mistakes was made. You know, as the information was coming through from the foundation, maybe that information should have been passed out at that particular time. But as we know, there has been a lot of sensitive information, you know, back and over, and that probably created its own difficulties, between the organisation and the international front, and how you deal best with that. I suppose the last thing we wanted was this to escalate to the level it did escalate, and that is unfortunate that did happen. But look, at both sides at this stage has to sit down, reflect where they're at, come together and find a solution around this. That's what I would be saying. And that's what clubs are saying to me. You know, clubs wants this resolved. And, you know, whatever support clubs can give to the board, I think they're very open to that at this stage. You know, once they have the facts of the whole situation, and maybe the facts wasn't out there that the clubs required, until the latter stage. And that's ultimately did create frustration among clubs. There's no question about it. But as regards a disconnect, I wouldn't agree in total that there is a disconnect. You know, that there is very, very good people out there. A lot of people, I've received a lot of calls, you know, particularly, I suppose, over the last week from delegates, from chairpersons, secretaries, you know, of support to people like me, because they understand, you know, I've been going around to clubs, I've been listening to clubs and listening to a lot of frustration out there. But I tell you, there's a huge amount of support out there also. Do you know, I think we need to take that on board.
One of the things that did stand out, and is separate from the foundation, is that failure to attend Special Congress. That must be something that you all regret as an executive.
Yeah, and I suppose, again, it was very unfortunate that this did happen, you know, and there was a sequence of events that led up to that Congress, which was quite unfortunate. From myself as vice chair, you know, we had our county final on the particular day, and you know, I was prepared to travel myself, but you know, at the last minute, I was told when I got the agenda, the discussion, particularly around the motions that was to be debated, was actually in the afternoon. So I needed to be back here. That was my prime objective of that particular weekend, was the successful completion of our championship, or both our senior intermediate championship, the biggest day of our calendar year within the county. And I suppose it goes back to what I really believe in myself. I am a club person at the end of the day, and I'm very passionate about club championship. Last year we had Brafe in it, this year we had two different teams, but I still felt that passion. And unfortunately Mike was absent on the particular week, and the events for him personally, you know, made himself unavailable. He had planned to go to the event to represent the board, and I was to be involved in coordinating, I suppose, our final intermediate and senior championship. But you know, I know, but through the secretary and myself, we did make efforts to get another delegate. We were unsuccessful on that. We do regret that, and look, we did apologise to Croke Park, you know, for what happened, you know, that we hadn't someone available to actually to attend on that particular week. So look, it was a sequence of events, probably we do regret.
It's without question, and again, I mentioned what Mike said about the amount of pressure you're under, and people understand it's a 3.5 million business with one employee, but at the same time, you are all amateurs, and there is that, you're anxious, and people are anxious not to personalise it, but they are saying, should there have been more change in the executive? Should there have been resignations when so much goes wrong? We obviously had the Stephen Rochford situation last year. You know, we've had little situations down through the years, not in any way associated with the current executive on many of those. But like, how do we get past this? You know, you say it is a voluntary job. Was there a need for change after what's just happened? Do you feel there's a need for more radical change than maybe you're able to bring as vice chairman moving to chairmanship?
Look, change is imminent within the organisation. You know, I think we all have to accept that.
Are you talking more in professional roles that are going to come in?
I think we need that. We need our structure. At the moment, we have one administrator and we have a commercial manager that we employed from the 1st of August. I don't think that's sufficient, you know, with people involved in a voluntary capacity and tied down with their own day-to-day jobs. And, you know, we have to accept that. We need more people within the organisation, and again, that to me will lead to a better governance structure within the county. So like, what I'd be looking at would be probably a finance control. We probably need one or two administrators that will be available to the board and available to the clubs within the county. So I think, you know, probably
what about the CEO, Seamus? Kevin McStay has said that should be the first appointment, and Liam and yourself don't necessarily say it should be the first. Why not the first appointment being a CEO?
Well, look, the way I look at it is, you know, I'll endeavour to talk about things that may be within our control. The CEO is a Croke Park appointment at the end of the day, and you know, we will impress upon them the need for it within the county, but whether it'll happen immediately, you know, I probably at this stage, I think it probably will require other appointments within the board or within the administration side before you see a no. I think a CNO is inevitable, but in the short term it may not. It may be a 2 to 5 year process before you see that appointment. So look at, I know when you look at it and you look at the Dublin appointment of the CEO, and it's quite successful. Whether we're at that level at this stage, you know, and I think it's up to the board to sit down. We have a new group of people coming around the table, you know, and it's important for them that we all have a shared vision where we think we're going. It's not about Seamus Toohey at the end of the day or Lee Moffat. This is about Mayo GAA. What is best for Mayo GAA? You know, and you know, that's for me is important, and I think everyone, including the clubs, including the delegates, have their say in this, and that we do impress upon them, and we do start that discussion with Croke Park, you know, that if a CEO is required within the county, that we go down that route. But in the short term, I don't see it happening.
There's a natural progression in many counties from vice chairman to chairmanship, but what beyond that, and all the work you've done, obviously, what beyond that is going to make your chairmanship a little bit different than what we've seen before?
Well, to me, you know, one of the finest appointments, you know, within the county, and look at, and I was looking at probably recently, I was looking at the strategic plan of 2012, you know, the suggestion at the time that we do appoint a commercial manager. You know, that took some time later, some years later, before that appointment was made. And probably for me, and I did put a huge effort into ensuring that appointment did take place. You know, for me, probably that appointment should have taken place maybe 3 to 5 years ago. Mm. But, you know, particularly when the county was going well, you know, we were on a crest of a wave over them years. But look, it's an appointment I welcome. And for me personally, you know, it will ease the chairperson's position quite significantly, and particularly around the whole area of income. I think our income, through the appointment of a commercial manager, will significantly open up opportunities to increase our income, particularly through sponsorship, through contracts, etc., you know, with sponsors out there. So I think that's a significant appointment within the board, and I see huge potential for that, and particularly in tapping into untapped resources that probably people like myself in a voluntary capacity may not have had the time to date to do. So I think for me it's a huge positive, and you know, and I think probably more appointments, like maybe a finance controller, you know, I think we have a huge turnover within the organisation, as I said, between over 3.5 million. So I think, you know, them type of appointments, it will be of great assistance to the chairperson and to the board going forward, and I think I'd like to see more of that.
I was very interested to see that you mentioned, you know, you want the financial expertise, that's not your area, and you differentiated that, so you understand the team you're going to have to build.
I do.
You did mention like a North Mayo Centre of Excellence, and if you forgive me, that was one of the few bits that sounds more political electioneering rather than, because of the pressure you're under to get Loch Lanna done, where would the money come from for Centre Excellence in North Mayo?
Yeah, well, I did mention the North Mayo, and probably the reason I mention North Mayo is probably the large geographical space.
Of course, it's clearly needed, but is it in any way doable?
I think it is. You know, I think you know, there is definitely, and I had a meeting in recent days with our commercial manager. There is a lot, there's huge opportunities out there, you know, untapped opportunities, which we didn't do in the past. Now we have the opportunity to explore that. Mm. And I think that gaps have opened up, avenues has opened up for this organisation to take on projects. There's a lot of people out there who are willing to contribute to ring-fenced projects within the county. You know, a lot of people probably in the past may not have contributed because they felt it was going into a loan situation within the county, and they felt it was dead meat. But I think particularly around projects like the Loch Lanna, like the Centre of Excellence, and any of the divisions, I think there's huge opportunities. Academies is all in that. There is people out there willing to contribute.
But you're aware, like, a lot of them did contribute to that €250,000. Obviously, the hope is that can be resolved. But some of them are frustrated at the moment. We both sat in that room in New York. Some of those great donors are hoping that money's freed up properly.
Yes, yeah. And look, as again, we need to bring resolve to that situation. And look, and people, when at the time when they did contribute to that particular fund or to that Cipriani function in New York, you know, the Loch Lanna project, that's where that money was to be ring-fenced for. So look, we do need to resolve to that, and look, and we need to keep everybody on side. We need to widen that catchment of people out there that is willing to invest in Mayo GAA, invest, as I said, in projects like that. And look, we as a board, we need to give reassurance to these people who invest in Mayo GAA that we have the right governance structures, you know, and that we are ring fencing it, and that their money is going where they plan to have it spent.
Just towards the end now, how formidable an opponent and is Liam Moffat, do you think, in terms of what he brings to the table?
I've great respect for Liam. I've worked with Liam. Liam has been on the board for the last 2 years. I have the height of respect for him. He's done a great work in the whole area around coaching and development. You know, I definitely think he's a lot to offer within the organisation. You know, I have the height of respect for him, you know, and I suppose above all, you know, on this campaign over the last number of years, you know, he showed me great respect, and I hope I have returned that respect to him. I respect him, you know, him. It's an open competition and everyone has the right to apply for these positions. I have no entitlement to the position. I have to, you know, I have to show the electorate out there that I'm capable of doing the job, that I have the vision to, you know, for Mayo GAA and what is required to resolve the outstanding issues, to work with the clubs within the county, work with the delegates, show leadership, you know, and, you know, hopefully to take us to a better place down the road.
I think people can see the huge amount of work that goes into producing the Mayo team. You know, the Mayo team have gone above and beyond winning the league title, which in the semi-final, the supporters, well, 6,500 of them went to Down on the Saturday night. Yeah. They continue going above and beyond. There is a feeling based on the fourth quarter drama that's come up a few times with the executive that has to improve. Would that be your target, to have a much quieter fourth quarter for the next few years and try and get some of these decisions done much more smoothly?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Like, we don't plan for those events.
Of course, yeah.
So, and that has been the reality. And I suppose, like everyone, that, you know, the has an attachment to the association. We all want to, you know, when we look back on it, we want to look back on it. It was a great experience. It was a part of my life I really enjoyed. That I give something back into something that I was really passionate about. And I, you know, and I enjoyed what I'd done. Met great people along that journey. And, you know, I did what I thought was best for the organisation. But at the same time, it's not about Seamus Toohey. It's about the organisation moving forward.
It's going to be a tough job, Seamus.
There's no question about it, you know, and I suppose, like everything else, you know, a lot of the tasks that I've taken on over the years have been tough. I've been working, you know, as in my own professional role, it has been a tough job also. I've been involved in management for the last 20-25 years. We went through a lot of change within that period. You know, the job of our chairperson of Mayo GAA will be challenging also, but look, I think I'm up for the job. I have the experience and, you know, I have the know-how. I have, you know, the knowledge, and I've worked with a lot of these people who will come around the table, you know, and share that workload, and we all work together, you know, for the betterment of the organisation.
All right, that was Seamus Toohey, and the second of our two candidates is Liam Moffat. Sat down with him on Wednesday. Liam, thanks for joining us. You're a busy man. I've read in the Mayo News this week, and you've confirmed that you've got to virtually every club. As we speak, I think you have one left.
Hi, Rob.
Left, is it?
Yeah, I've met, by the time this evening comes, I'll have interacted or met or presented to 48.
Wow.
So 48 out of 50. So two of them got away from me. They'll be delighted me dragging them to another meeting. So I'd say they're happy as Larry. They didn't catch them, you know.
In the room in Mayo GAA, you may be perceived as an outsider in this race. Obviously, the vice chairman has that natural progression to it. In the podcast, I think Seamus is the outsider because we've heard you on the podcast before, and you'll understand too that a lot of our listeners are Mayo GAA people who maybe haven't had much interaction with how county boards work, but have a hell of a lot of frustration at what's happened this year and what's been happening in what John would describe as quarter four year on year in terms of drama that we just don't need. So let's start there.
Yeah, so I suppose if you look at Mayo GAA from an administration point of view, there is the good and the bad, as everyone knows. There's some brilliant things been done, but also been some fortunate incidents in recent years, and Q4, as you call it there, at the end of the year, which tends to be a bit grisly. The way I'd look at it is that I would see huge untapped potential in Mayo GAA. I think we've got so many good things going, and I suppose what I would be thinking about there is that it's because that untapped potential, that's one of the reasons why I'm running. I believe that if we get our administration off the field to reach its potential, then that only improves the chances of our on-field success for both club and county. I think as well is that in that context, that's why when I've met all these clubs and done all these meetings, that's why I've prioritised
sort of strategy and vision over personality. Mm. I just want to engage the personality comments, because there is really good people in there. Yes, things have gone astray at different times, but what they've gone astray in every county at different times. And we've got to focus the narrative on now is, okay, what's the policy? What's the plan? Where are we going with this? And just get everyone together and move in the direction and be all that we can be.
You were chatting to me there about the fact that there was 280,000 Mayo supporters going through the turnstiles this year. That number is incredible, and I actually missed that along the way. With that, with this moment in time, with the amount of the level of interest in Mayo football, with obviously the problems that are around in terms of financing and in terms of some of the administration issues, is this the most important chairman election of all time in Mayo GA?
Well, maybe it is, and that's for others to comment on. But certainly from my perspective, I would like to see a position going forward where the administrators, and particularly the officers of Mayo GA, are far less in the public glare, where the conversation and the narrative is far more about policy and procedure and less about individuals. Mm. I think that's where we've got to go with that. I think it is acknowledged that Mayo has a significant following and a significant brand, if you want to call it that way. That 208,000 figure was posted in the Examiner, and they were secondary only to Dublin with 340 in that piece, which shows the potential that's there. Yes, there are financial challenges. You know, the clubs have told me from the numerous interactions, there's a sporting challenge, there's an economic challenge, and there's some worry and social challenges. But again, if you draw the line in the sand, get the facts, make informed decisions, get policies behind you, the other way is that there's huge potential here.
Yeah, and looking at the potential, you have put together a really strong presentation for the clubs, and I was treated to it there, and it's really, really interesting to see what you're trying to do, and I hope it has been taken well. But you're one person. You're going for one role. And I guess that's my first question. Like, you have an executive to bring with you. How are you going to bring the executive with you? It's not like the Lee Moffat party is getting into power. It's you getting the chairmanship. You have a lot of people to bring along with you.
Yeah, so the chairmanship, let's be clear about it, it's executive leadership. It is leading the executive team. We have some very, very capable people in there in the executive, and what that executive needs is we need to be working like any high-performing team. So if you think of any team, any sports team, and you apply that in a business context to your executive, for example, they have to have a goal, they have to have a vision where they want to go, they have to know their role, and they've got to be able to critique where we're going with it and have that to and fro process and trust each other that each person will carry out its role. So the way I would see the executive is that the chairperson is very much a leader who empowers and develops the people on that executive, that we have a clear game plan, you know your role, and empower the person to do it. It's an interesting analogy that despite the amount of time and effort that's involved in being on the executive committee of Mayo GA, we've no history of investment in it. We invest significant amounts on our on-field activities, and that's very valid. We've invested significant amounts in our infrastructure, but to my knowledge, we don't seem to invest a lot in our people at executive level. Whereas if you were in any company or any organization, and you know your board of directors, essentially, you would invest in them, you would upskill them, you would try and help people develop in their role and develop their own goals and their own ambitions. And that's certainly a conversation that we have to have to empower that executive, because I don't believe that any member of the executive or any officer in Mayo GA has never failed in effort or commitment. The work rate is incredible. I feel where we've been let down times is that lack of policy to guide that energy. And I think that those executive members, people are very quick to criticise them, and some of the criticism is very fair and some of it is extremely unfair, to be honest. And one of my things as a chairperson of the executive would be that we are going to invest in the executive, we are going to maximise the potential, and we are going to become a really, really good team that's going to do our work, as the Muhammad Ali quote would say, far away from the lights. And from that process, we can become a best-in-class administration, we can reduce the burden on our volunteers, and we can make Mayo feel proud to run our affairs.
You've mentioned that you don't want to personalise this, and that makes sense, and I think a lot of our listeners and a lot of our contributors, I think of Kevin McStay and Sean Rice, who've been very critical of the executive, but maybe not personalising it for that reason. How do you separate the fact that you were in that room, like a lot of people listening to maybe some of the moments? I'll give you one moment, for example, when the emails weren't read by the executive and everyone in the country had read the emails. Those kind of moments that from the outsider perspective, people don't understand the complexities of and the politics, just seem absurd. And I've mentioned this to Seamus. How would you look at that? And how do you not criticise heavily, but at the same time, you'll be looking at changes to make sure these things don't happen again.
Yeah, I think in that context there, what's happened is very regrettable, and often what happens in the heat of the moment under pressure, you know, you look back and you say, would I have done things differently? I think certainly things could have been done differently. Do I think that anything was done maliciously? Do I think that people were not trying their best to do the right thing? No, I think people were trying their best to do the right thing, just mistakes were made. I think the important thing here now is that we can either keep harping on about this, or we can draw a line in the sand and actually solve this going forward. My mentality would be very much solve this going forward, because, okay, we've had an unfortunate incident this year, but in recent years we've had a number of incidents and they haven't been malicious. So the question is that we've got to draw a line in the sand somewhere and solve this, and how it's going to be solved is policies and procedures. That's it. And then what happens is the individual decision-making errors that when happen, not maliciously, but have happened, they don't tend to reoccur, because you simply have protocol and practices in place to do that. So it's very easy to sit on the outside and critique Mayo County Board officers. And as I said earlier,
delegates as well, they get a lot of criticism for how they didn't stand up in that situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a matter of opinion. Like, you know, I mean, it depends what you mean by standing up. I mean, there's an awful lot of things the delegates have stood up over. I mean, you know, a lot of people, including myself, raised issues, didn't agree with the media ban, and that was reversed. People spoke openly about it. There's been numerous issues over the years where delegates have spoke up. So again, when you generalise things, that's a dangerous concept. Provide informed decision making here, provide informed content. Yes, you're right that, you know, mistakes were made in this process, but it goes back to the same argument, sorry for repeating myself, but are we going to keep harping on about this, or are we going to go towards a solution? We have a solution there. We've been mandated now with the clubs. We have mediators with Connacht GAA and Croke Park. Let's use them. Let's learn from the situation. But when I say learn from it, it can't happen again. You know, and you take other instances we've had in the past with Mayo GAA that have repeated. And why have they repeated? Because we haven't drawn a line in the sand. We've personalised it. We haven't met it about policy. Now it needs to be stop the personalised stuff, start focusing on the policy, and put your energy towards solving the problem rather than berating people, particularly on social media, over this.
Yeah, and that's probably where a lot of the Tim O'Leary element comes into it, because, look, you're a candidate for a change. At the time, the executive is under a lot of criticism from Tim O'Leary and a lot of his supporters, for example. And there is going to be many of his supporters who will support you because you're a change from the executive, you're someone different. So with that in mind, you've obviously no association with them, but you are the guy who's coming in that could well disrupt the current regime. Just maybe differentiate yourself from those two positions.
Well, I wouldn't really agree I'm a disruptor. I think that I have a huge background in Mayo GAA. I've been involved as a player intermittently at every level since 1991. I've been involved at club level, I've been involved at medical level, an S&C level, a research level, a committee level, and all. So to say that I'm coming to disrupt things, that's incorrect. I don't agree with that point, Rob. I think certainly in relation to the issues the foundation have with Mayo GAA, my position would be clearly this. Number one, I would listen to understand. And when I say that, I would listen to the officers of Mayo County Board. I would listen to our partners in Connacht GAA and Croke Park. And then I would have an informed decision about our current position in relation to the foundation issue. Of course I'm willing to work with anyone. Of course I'm willing to work anyone, anytime, anywhere to help bring a solution to this impasse. You know, I just, you know, to say disruptor, that wouldn't be my concept at all. I've gone on a solo run here. I haven't berated anyone. I haven't got involved in personal tactics. I've done none of that. All I've done is focus the conversation, the narrative around clear policies, clear procedures that eventually forms this a great word of governance that everyone talks about. So I reject that about disruptor. I really, really don't like that term, because I have a huge history and with Mayo GAA at so many different levels, and this is the culmination of that history.
Yeah, and we're looking at a change then. If you're not the disruptor, you're definitely the person who's going to try and create something that is different from before, and maybe, as we said, put an end to this quarter four drama that seems to be a yearly strategy. You know, someone was saying, what would be success? Success may well be that we just have a smooth transition from one year to the next for the next 5 years under yourself. That would be a massive change from what we've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah, well, in any sports organisation, you have administration arm, a sporting arm, a social arm, you know, you have to, and an economic arm. There's different facets to an organisation. And from that point of view, I suppose, what I would like to see here is that we need to be putting in policies that really connect with our clubs. So I know that in 47 club meetings, the word disconnect was used in 20 of them. So 20 clubs used, or 43% of meetings, regarded that actual word disconnect. and other clubs pointed to disconnection but didn't use that direct word. So I know that connection has to take place. I know that we have to reduce the burden on the volunteers, because economically clubs are reporting significant challenges with dealing with the cost of running a club, dealing with levies and so on and so forth. I know that we have to improve the playing health of our clubs, and we've got to really talk about the things that are affecting club participation. The biggest one is depopulation. And it's not just the Kilfines this world. You take the Kiltanes this world, they told me they had 135 kids in their national school about 10 years ago, now they're 38. Hmm. You know, you go to somewhere like Ballintubber and the numbers in the national schools are really, really low. Hmm. So rural depopulation is a significant challenge, and our policies and procedures have to match that to improve participation. I also want to have a situation where we start to look at a situation where we connect with our migrants and our immigrants. So there's so many Mayo people who are so passionate that live in Galway, they live in Dublin, etc., etc., and further afield. And how can we connect with that? So these are the things I'm thinking about. This is the conversations I'm having in terms of whether people view me as someone who's out for change. Of course I'm out for change, but I'm out for change for the better.
And change as you push back hard on disruption, change within the structures of the organisation that's there.
Absolutely, yeah, because you look at all the good things that are happening, and I'm not trying to be like, you know, here I am defending the county board, blah, blah, but I am, because I'm a member of the county board. But people are forgetting all the good things that have been done. Where Mayo GA is now compared to where it was 25, 30 years ago is phenomenal. People forget that not that long ago, Mayo didn't even have its own restrooms changing. Mayo didn't have top-class gym facilities, you know, nutrition facility, the amount of support goes into the team, etc., etc. So when you look at this, it's dangerous to look at it in an isolated instance and say everything is wrong and Liam Moffat's coming in to change everything. I'm not. I'm coming in to build on what we have, not disrupt what we have. And I would see that huge potential there in so many different areas, but it has to work the whole way around. It has to be holistic. It has to bring the different facets of the organisation into play. It's not just about the elite athlete. It's not about Mayo winning on Ireland's. It's about creating the environment that feeds that process over time that everyone can enjoy.
What jumped out at me in your piece in the Mayo News, in contrast to Seamus Toohey's piece, was you saw that disconnect. He disagreed with it. Does that surprise you that he doesn't feel there's specifically a disconnect between clubs and county board?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't talk for anyone else's vision. I can only talk about my own, and people know what my vision is. And
it's a good strong contrast, though, with that you're seeing this disconnect and he isn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't comment on that. I can only comment on myself, and I mean, in relation to myself, I have got a book that's right in front of you here, a black book, a famous black book, and there's loads of notes in it, and you can turn around then and you can take, say, any picture club that you want here, and you can look at some of these notes and you can find the word disconnect over and over again in it. So I mean, all I can count is that the word disconnect was directly used in 20 of those meetings. So that's 43% of clubs I've met, so there certainly is evidence of a disconnect. I don't think that disconnect's malicious. I think that disconnect may have happened because of the amount of demand that there is on offices of the Mayo County Board, that you're simply dealing on everything on a day-to-day basis. It's very hard to relate back to your club to keep that connection. I think from the club-county end of it, the pressures that inter-county players, inter-county managers are up now is ferocious, and that disconnect has been fueled there as well. So I think there is a disconnect. I don't think it's deliberate, but it needs to be addressed.
Interesting contrast in terms of, you know, I think the race so far has been underwhelming in terms of drama. Forgive the word, but I just mean from all the drama that's going through the Irish Independent and every other national paper that's picking up some of the dispute around the foundation, to what the race seems to be about, which is obviously club delegates in the room concerned about the issues on the ground. And they don't seem to be as concerned about the International Foundation and the fundraising. Well, they are obviously very concerned about the fact that there's a large sum of money there. That contrast has to be put to one side to the fact that of those 280,000 people following Mayo, a large proportion of them are not club members or not heavily involved in clubs, but they're massively important to the GA and they're huge Mayo fans. And there does seem to be, I would say, for better or for worse, a lack of voice within a race like this for that group of people.
A couple of things on that there. From the meetings I've had with clubs, there certainly is concerns about what's going on. I think that in relation to,
are they angry? I'm not picking up a massive.
No, like, I mean, again, are people frustrated? Yeah, they are. Are they angry? I'm not picking up anger. I'm picking up frustration. Again, the context of my interactions with them are very much policy and procedure. The point you made there about the drama, there doesn't have to be drama. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It needs to be very, very professional here and very much about policy and procedure and not dramatic and not personal. So I would kind of disagree that that there needs to be an element of drama in the room. There doesn't need to be. There needs to be leadership and needs to be direction on where we're going. That's where it needs to be. And we need to be pulling together. And that's an outcome. The wheels in motion to achieve that are different. In relation to the people that follow the Mayo team, they're hugely important. They are, to say that they're, you know, they are connected. So many of them are connected with their clubs. Yes, a cohort or not, I would suspect, right? Mm. But there's the potential. I mean, like, I don't see that as a problem. I see that as an opportunity. And there are lots of people who, you know, who are working so hard in clubs, who are very, very ambitious, who have displayed serious ambition to me and where they'd like their club to go. And that's another huge sort of touch point that I've learned on the journey as well. So maybe that doesn't come out in the green and red story, but maybe it comes out in the club story.
The future, you know, you're looking at the future of fundraising in your presentation that I've had the chance to have a look at there. I'm very interested to see that you feel Corgi Mayo is the single and sole route, and having that very strong interaction between any fundraising, and it's something that's come up with relation to International Foundation. Mistakes were made, we've heard, and one of the mistakes was obviously not having more involvement in the whole process.
Yeah, so Corgi Mayo is to me the start and end of all fundraising activities for Mayo. I think there's three potential routes to it. There's a local route, a national route, and an international route because of our immigrant status. My position on it would be very clearly that if we're engaging with any fundraising partner, the terms and conditions, the reference points are really set out at the start. I think it's really important that our treasurer is a trustee on every single event, whether it's the smallest gig to the biggest gig. And that all comes under Corgi Mayo, which is under the jurisdiction of the treasurer of Mayo GA. That's the starting and end point. I think that in relation to the foundation, I've no doubt everyone into this episode with the best of intentions.
He was labelled a white knight at the annual convention last year because of his 150 grand. It started oh so well in 2019.
Yeah, well, I think everyone went in with the best of intentions. I don't think anyone maliciously went for this to go wrong. Unfortunately, like what happens in a lot of business situations, sometimes expectations aren't aligned, misunderstandings occur, and then a dispute arises. Where we've got to draw the line in the sand here now is we are at mediation point. We have help from Croke Park. We have help from Connacht GA. Let's use that. Let's learn from that. Let's never let it happen again, and let's everyone get behind the team. Remember, the Donegal match is only 5 weeks away or 6 weeks away, and let's get the conversation going on that.
How frustrated were you? It's a separate issue, but with the mistake of not sending someone to Special Congress.
That was disappointing. You know, our secretary has explained why. I thought he gave very valid reasons. There was exception circumstance. Our chairman was ill. There was county finals on. I think the reasons that Dermot gave were very fair and very valid. It doesn't get away from the fact that we didn't have representation there. It was disappointing.
People were really annoyed about that. It was a very specific, easy to criticise.
Yeah, again, it's easy to criticise, and I'd say if
you would have gone, I'd say, if you'd been asked, wouldn't you?
I would have, Rob, yeah. Well, I wasn't asked, for the record. But I mean, if I'd known that Mayo didn't have any representation and I was asked, I've been honest, I certainly would have went, and yeah. I'm sure other people would have as well. But again, it goes back to the whole thing of officers, again, that traditional model of the volunteer trying their very best in the evening after work. It's just been overrun by the demands of everything. Mm. I mean, if you're an officer in Mayo GA, like, how many emails a day do our officers get? How many phone calls a day? How many queries do they get? I mean, it's phenomenal. So mistakes can happen. I'd say if everyone could turn back the clock, yeah, sure, we'd have someone at the Special Congress, and we should have, and hopefully it never happened again. But it happened. Let's ask why. And in my opinion, it's because we just have too much demand on people as volunteers who are trying to run a huge sports organisation. And it is.
That brings me to, as we bring this towards the conclusion, Kevin McStay was on our podcast a few weeks back. Very critical, obviously, at the time. It was early October, of some of the things that went wrong. And one of his big things was a CEO. First and foremost, Mayo need a CEO. Both yourself and Seamus have said CEOs are important. Neither of you have gone first and foremost. Maybe explain yourself why you wouldn't necessarily make your very first appointment a CEO.
I believe a CEO is important. I wouldn't believe that it's right here, right now, straight away next week. I think what's needed right here, right now, is to make a very informed decision about that. That CEO is essentially a business manager and a business leader, mm-hmm. and they need to be having a vision and strategy. But go back, put the horse before the cart. You've got to get your executive getting their vision first, getting everyone aligned, making informed decisions, looking at the finance, look at the situation we're in. And then if a CEO is part of a strategic informed decision, then I would be all in favour of it. Is it highly likely to happen with the rate that Mayo GA has grown? I would suspect so. We know that. But what I'm trying to get across the point is that our decision making needs to be informed and not reactive.
Right.
Okay. And on that context there, what I'd say on that is this, is that, you know, if you look at other sporting organisations, they're benefiting from significant governance support, significant outside support that doesn't interfere in the on-field activity. You know, we've so many good examples in sport. The biggest one example is Liverpool. You know, Liverpool 9-10 years ago really struggling financially. You know, John Henry, Fenway Sports came in, they put really strong governance, really strong structures behind it. They ran as a business really, really well without interfering with the on-field activities. And now 9-10 years later, they're winning trophies, they're hugely profitable. And I know it's a professional sport, but the conversation about it is the same. So I do think Kevin has a very valid point. I don't disagree with him in the sense that we do need one, but what I do say is that it needs to be an informed decision as part of strategy and not a reactive one.
You know, things have gone wrong over the last few years. We've said this already, Q4 drama. Like, and, you know, how difficult it was for some of the families of some of these managers over the last few years who've had to go through some really tough times, from Pat Knoll, Kevin McStay, we've heard him outline his book, Stephen Rochford most recently. I mean, it was a really dramatic exit. And that's just this current executive just gone that had to deal with what was a really difficult time.
Yeah, there's been a number of incidents. Again, nothing was malicious, in my opinion. Nothing was planned. I would feel quite strongly about it because, to be quite honest, on a human level, a lot of people have been hurt. Mm. And I think when you step back from it and to step back from your word, Rob, the drama of it all, when you look at people individually, they have been hurt. And from that context, that is, I would feel quite strongly about that. And that's one of the reasons that motivated me to include in my policies a managerial appointment. So in my opinion, we need to have very clear policies for how you enter the building as a Mayo manager and how you leave the building. And that we want to reduce that scenario where people do get hurt in the process, because it's not easy on anyone. I think we need to have standards on how we engage with managers in that regard. I think we need to be very clear on the job spec, the criteria base involved. And what you want to have here is the outcome is that you have a legacy where you have a range of appointments, that people clearly know how you become manager and that they're queuing up to do it. And we're fortunate that we have a great manager. We've got a brilliant under 20 manager. We've got a really good minor manager, as everyone knows. We've got good guys in the academy. We've got coaches left, right and centre. We've got Mayo coaches outside of Mayo who are fantastic in three different counties, to my knowledge. So we've got a lot of talent here. And from an administration point of view, let's put that in black and white. Let's make a policy where people are queuing up to be manager.
The last thing I want to kind of talk about is that management style that you're going to bring to it. Management's key, isn't it? I mean, you're going to be effectively the county board manager if you get the job. Your thoughts on that?
My leadership style will be very much based on starting with myself and looking at myself first in terms of what are the values and behaviours I need to be an effective leader. Then I would move towards my executive, and it's all about empowering your executive as a macro manager, not a micromanager. You've got to get that executive working as a team, empower people, create a shared vision, look at the workloads that they're achieving, what are the behaviours we need to meet that vision, what's the income strand we need to support that vision, what are the key results we got to get, and what are the performance indicators along the way, like any high-performing team does. There's no reason why the executive Mayo GA cannot become a seriously, seriously high-performing team. I'd love to be in a position to lead that and empower those people to be all they can be.
If you wake up on Monday morning after Belmullet having lost, what is your mindset in terms of what you want to do in Mayo football?
I won't have lost, Rob, because already the journey has been really, really good, from player to coach to medic to administrator. Going out meeting all the clubs is the best thing I ever did, my time involved Mayo, because I got to listen, I got to understand, I got to meet people. You know, win, lose, or draw in terms of result, certainly I haven't lost in terms of the experience. One thing I would say on that is that there is so much potential out there when you sit down with these clubs. Like, I've got pages of notes there. Some of the ideas were absolutely brilliant, going from making money to how we help our administrators to...
You could just write that book.
Yeah, like some of the football ideas were brilliant, some of the hurling ideas were brilliant, some of the handball ideas were brilliant. there was some great stuff. There was some hard questions as well, and there were some sticky moments, but you know, this has been nothing but a good experience for me, because I've learned so much, and it just reinforces that sense of pride in where you're from, that sense of identity, and the potential's in the place.
Okay, there you have it. Obviously, John, we're not going to pass much more comment. We hope that the right questions were asked. In the meantime, we have one more podcast to get to 50. We're at 49, John. Mm-hmm. 49 in 1 year.
We got to hit it. We have to hit it.
That's a lot of hours. That's a lot of hours of audio. Do you know, I just happened to accidentally click play on a random one before we were talking on the way home there. And it was, I think I was on a rooftop in New York and you were back in Dublin. My God, that seems like years ago.
It does, doesn't it? Doesn't it just?
Yeah.
You know?
Long time. A lot of water under the bridge. Listen, enjoy I hope you enjoyed this week's show. I really recommend you go back and listen to Kevin McStay, especially if you've been on a sabbatical for a little while there. That was a great one, and that does it does cover a lot of ground as well. In the meantime, yeah, we have our end of year football on field special. And if you missed it at the start, John, you just shocked everyone when you told them that there were only 1 month from actual football. Galway and Mayo in the FPG League.
Yeah, and the club starts the night before, Rob. So, you know, I think we're coming into it with all guns blazing in the new year.
No, it's going to be a great night in the new year. In the meantime, stick with us, folks. Don't forget, convention's on Sunday. And I can't imagine a better newspaper on the planet to buy on Tuesday morning if you want to get the full story from the convention than the Mayo News. That's it from us. Thanks, John.
Okay. Cheers, Rob.